Oh, yeah. 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It's live and local FM Talk. And it's for everybody. Unlike some media outlets that just hang up on you and don't give you a reason or don't like your point of view, then, you know, to hell with you. Whatever you want to put out there, let's have a discussion about it. 884-9910. I've said it before, and I'll say it again and again and again. It's called The Monica J Show, but it's your show. It's your voice. Everybody in Northern Nevada. Monica at 991fmtalk.com. Just as a little reminder, if you send me an email, it is my property to do with what I want. I get a lot of nice emails, but then again, I also get some squirrely ones. But these are my talking points. These are the tools that I use to bring up hard conversations with you. And nothing should be off the table. Your religious views, your views on sex, your views on LGBTQ, your views on the school system, whatever you want to talk about. And it's important because somebody else out there might be thinking the same thing as you, but not have the courage to get on air and say something. So let's go to the phone lines, 884-9910. I love updates. You bring something up and then it's never heard from again, not on this show, not with my listeners. It's all about updates. Meeting last night for Lemon Valley. Let's find out how it went. Terry, thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, I didn't go to the Lemon Valley meeting.
Oh, this is Terry. This is the meeting with NDOT.
No, the planning department.
The planning department. That's right. The planning commission. Too many meetings going on at once. Terry, yeah. did you get the phone call at 3 o'clock yesterday?
I did. My unlimited amount of calling and temper tantrums paid off. They called me at exactly 3:03, and like they said, and I have a meeting scheduled for Tuesday. Of course, during your show at 10 to 11, and to discuss why they are not complying. So that's where I'm at with this.
What was the conversation like? I mean, were they happy to help you deal with this, or were they questioning, why are you doing this?
They were kind of questioning it, and they're kind of saying that they don't need to do this, or they can go around it, circumnavigate it somehow. And I read out the ordinance to the Saratone girl. Of course, she's just the messenger.
Right.
So I read it out to her, and I said, I can't see any way that this could be, you know, neglected. She said, well, that's what we're going to be talking about. So I'll just wait till I go in there on Monday and do battle with them.
So, Terry, just as a reminder for people, the ordinance that you're dealing with right now, what is that in reference to?
That's in reference, and it's in the 400 section. And I got cut off from you yesterday when I called, and I was going to suggest if any of your listeners out there should go through the 400 section, because it gives a description of what the county's obligations are when they are going to do any building from start to finish. And it's very detailed. Takes a while to get through. And I didn't bring it up like a dummy here. Here, if I can hold on 1 second real quick.
Well, I remember from our conversation yesterday that there was a warehouse put behind your home, and there was supposed to be a wall, and there were supposed to be trees. So the beautification, so you're not just looking at a big warehouse.
And yes,
the inspector just came along and signed off on the project just on their own.
On their own. One person just said, hey, well, we're not going to make you do it. And my big question is why? Why you just signed off on that without any regard to the neighbors, how any of us felt or anything? You basically, you just took the law into your own hands and said, you know, screw you. So that's
we don't care what you have to look at.
Yeah. And it really states here, you know, it's very obvious that, and I found a section here, it was, it's in number 110.412-.40 and civic and commercial uses. And it explains very, it's simple that they have to do that, put the trees in and put the buffers in. And they're also supposed to put along any highway a tree every 50 feet or a roadway. And that isn't getting done. So,
and the reason that's not getting done is because people don't realize that. They don't look for what's, you know, in these ordinances. So until somebody takes the time to call them on it, it's just going to keep going the way it is. So, Terry, thank you. Thank you for doing this for not only for yourself because you're the homeowner, but thank you for everybody else who now has to drive by and look at it and think, hey, you know, why can't they make this a little bit more attractive? Why is it just a bunch of warehouse buildings out here? You know, the trees and the walls, it's also a sound buffer. And that makes a big difference when you're trying to enjoy your home and you hear all the warehouse sounds going on behind you.
Yes. You know, and I got the number wrong here when I first said, you know, anybody listening can go to it. It's the county ordinance, and it's number 110. And it's most of it is in the 110.400 section. And it explains everything there with the county. And if they're looking over their fence at a monstrosity and they don't see things that are the same as I saw here that are required, they should be calling and screaming bloody murder. In fact, I think we ought to all go down there with pitchforks and sickles.
pitchforks and torches and, you know, it's like Frankenstein's house. You know, but that's the thing. We're just going to keep growing and we're going to just keep looking, you know, shabby with beautiful housing developments and then warehouses, nothing in between, because they get away with it. And that's the point. We can't let elected representatives and their employees of different departments keep getting away with stuff because they can. So, Terry, thank you so much. I can't wait until Monday. actually Tuesday. So you'll call in on Tuesday and let us know how the meeting went on Monday.
Yeah, I'll do that. And, you know, one quick thing, Monica. I pondered a lot last night on what is really wrong with Washoe County. And I came up with the one thing. And that is, you're only on Monday through Friday for 2 hours a day. That's only 10 hours a week.
Well, that's only me trying to get the word out, Terry. You and others are the ones that are doing the legwork and the footwork and the calling the county and saying, hey, we need to sit down and talk. And so being able to hear your results, and people can always go back to the podcast, but people hearing you and what you've done and what's happened, it gives them hope that they'll be listened to and they'll be able to do that as well. So, Terry, well, kudos to you.
Well, you're my inspiration. You were the one that really actually started getting me involved. You know, I felt like a lone wolf. And next thing I know, I'm listening to you, and I'm listening to people calling into you about the planning problems around here and all the other problems. And then, of course, I got involved with the Quality of Life people, or the QOL Reno people. And now I'm sitting there going, we have a lot of problems.
Yeah, and, we do. And you know, and we're not being told the truth by those who we put in place. So, Terry, I got to let you go. I can't wait to hear about the meeting next week. And don't let them reschedule it. Goodness, no, don't let them reschedule it. So, Terry, thank you so much. Let's go back to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with John this morning. See what John's got in his mind. Hello, sir.
Monica, I'm maybe a little bit behind, but I just spoke to your friend. But anyway, we've got a big problem in the state of Nevada because of electric cars. Now they're going to start regulating and making people pay for the mileage that they're using the roads. Why don't we put a toll gate at all the borders of California and all the way around the state of Nevada and start collecting money from all the cars that are coming through here? And then we need to put a special tax on top of those electric cars that are being built. Here in Nevada, any place else, and of course, I don't like the Mexican battery factory polluting the water around and the cars around me, though, so I'm upset about that.
Well, it's tough, John, because they would never do that at the border because they want people to, they want those tourist dollars. They want people coming in. They want them gambling. They want them staying in the hotels. Yeah. As for the purchase of, I think it should go back to the purchaser. If you're going to purchase something that is, you know, like vaping, if you're going to purchase something that isn't on the books yet or we haven't figured out how this is going to hurt the future, then yeah, there should be an extra fee, an extra, just a little tax, charge a little bit more. And the people who are, that's how bicyclists also pay for, you know, creating bike lanes and do that.
Right.
You know, why spread out the, let's see, Obama wanted to spread the wealth. So our guys are trying to spread the pain?
Spread the pain, exactly. And you know what? Tesla is being built, is subsidized by the taxpayers of the state of California to carbon tax, carbon credits and all that stuff. And that's a big money over in California. But, I mean, we need to do something about
the
electric
cars. Well, they're being subsidized over here as well, John, because of all the credits and everything they got to build the factory.
Yeah. Oh, that was huge. But I don't understand why the people in Nevada don't understand that this thing's coming at them and they're going to end up paying for it. And there's going to be people living way out in the country someplace. They're going to be faced with having to drive, maybe they drive 30, 40 miles from their ranch or whatever, just having to pick up supplies and things like that. And they're going to get hammered for it, and it's not fair. It should be the people with their electric cars and all the rest of the stuff that are coming in and out of here and all that. They should be paying the taxes, not the local folks that live here in this state.
John, it's control. It's all a conversion to the Green New Deal. They want fossil fuels out, and the only way they can do that is to make people so sick and tired of having those so-called gas guzzlers that they'll move on to hybrids. They'll move on to electrics. It's all tied up into the same thing, which is just money. That's all it is, John.
Okay,
so thank you for noticing that and being on board. Appreciate the time, John. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back on the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Poll question's always right there on front. And that is, should the judge lift the ban that's on the water, I don't want to say reclamation, but on the pumping and new drilling and stuff like that out in the North Valleys? 53% of you said no. It needs to stay in place. Developers want it lifted because, well, they want to develop. They want to get things done and going. And 53% of you said no. So that's a good thing. That's something to look back on that, you know, people are concerned about the growth that we've got going on here. But the Planning Commission is a big part of that. We've got our master plans. We've got the North Valley plans. We've got, you know, everything working together. But then once something is put in place, as soon as a developer comes along and wants to change it, they do. They go in and change it. So let's continue the conversation on what we've had and go to the phone lines and check in with Ryan. Ryan, what are your thoughts on the Planning Commission?
Well, first, Dennis is me next week. A couple of things. One, Dennis, my friend, get it going, keep it up. But I'll take a tape recorder, record a meeting, because that way at some point you're probably going to need to get a lawyer involved because they're impacting your home values. And the scariest three words that they don't like hearing, if they're not going to be nice, is, you know what? You're forcing me to call my lawyer because you're not willing to play ball and play by the same rules that I got to play by. You don't want to help me out, get the developers to help. To play by the rules, then you're forcing me to call my lawyer because you're impacting my home values. That's what Dennis needs to say to them if they don't want to play ball after a couple of days after that meeting. But I would take an iPod or something to record a meeting so that way Casey does get a lawyer involved. He has a record of what was said in that meeting to cover his
back. But you also have to ask for permission to be recorded, and if they don't give it, then, you know, the meeting's up in the air. Do you continue with the meeting, or do you want to record it?
So we did it.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, we're a one party state. Only one party has to be involved with that. Okay.
I'm saying, he said, I agree to before anything gets. I agree to record this meeting I'm having with these people to cover his back. That way, it's all recorded, and in case they do some backhanded BS, then he has a recording as his ultimate trump card, and you can get the lawyer and says, here's my trump card. Here's what was said in the meeting, and here's what you guys aren't doing. Now you're forcing me to call a lawyer because you're impacting my home value.
Well, and yeah, that is the biggest thing right there, because if Terry goes to sell his property, people are going to look at that and say, God, there's a big warehouse back here.
It's going to be put in the contract at some point. So, you know what, this is going to come. I'm not paying this high price because you have a warehouse in the back. You're packing my home value. I want a discount some way. So that's why I wouldn't be surprised if Terry, get permission yourself to record a meeting. Record a meeting. If they don't want to play ball, they get a lawyer to involve and says these people get all the documentation along with the meeting, and say here you go and kneel them because they are violating. It sounds like from what Terry's been saying, they're not doing the right way of the law. They're violating the law and they're getting around it somehow because they're the city, they're the government.
Well, it's because people aren't paying attention, Ryan.
No.
They just go and they figure, okay, it's the city. They must be doing the thing. So that's a great point, and I hope Terry takes you on that. But I gotta go, Ryan. Okay. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks for the call. And just to continue on with the waste that we were just talking about with the, you know, with the electric cars and things like that, I would never promote Bloomberg, but Bloomberg Business Week, Bloomberg Big Business is actually a pretty good publication and source of information. And this story was actually done last week, January 6th. A $1 billion solar plant was obsolete before it ever went online. Thanks to, of course, politicians and Harry Reid leading the charge. If you've never heard about the Crescent Dunes solar plant, if you're new to the area, you need to go and look this up. Go to Bloomberg.com. This is an excellent article. It talks to you about the money that was put in place from Citigroup and the Obama Energy Department for this huge solar array in the middle of the desert between Reno and Las Vegas. It's out just, it's past Fallon if you're heading south. And you might notice that there's this huge skyscraper. It's like you're going in this vast desert, and then there's this skyscraper. It looks like the stratosphere out there. It's like, what is that? That is the Crescent Dunes solar plant. And this is what you are paying for, because they're not even running right now. But they had $140 million that Citigroup and other financiers invested in this project that, like I said, obsolete before it even started. But there was $737 million in loan guarantees. And you're on the hook for that. Last year, the reason that they're defunct now is Crescent Dunes lost their only customer. Who do you think their only customer was? NV Energy. They said, place is unreliable, and it's not even producing the amount of energy that they said it was going to produce. So log on to Bloomberg.com and read this article. Just Google if you want, or DuckDuckGo, or whatever you're using for a search engine, and search Crescent Dunes. And that will give you, I want this place that you're on the hook for, that you're paying for. I want this to be Harry Reid's legacy. Not just Solyndra and the stuff down in Vegas. This, Crescent Dunes. You need to research that for yourself. It's the Monica Jay Show, but it's also the home of Fox News. So let's get a quick update on what's going on around the world here on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Fox at the top. Fox at the bottom. Live and local right now. Monica Jay on KKFT.
And it's all about you. Your opinion, what's going on here in Northern Nevada, all the counties, not just Washoe County, not just Reno. A lot of times people just focus on Reno. And no, because we're all connected and what we do out there affects each other. It is the Monica Jay Show. You can email me at Monica at 991FMTalk.com. Monica at. So check that out. Also, 884-9910 is the line for you to call in your voice. So I get my poll questions from a lot of different areas, but because of the recent hot sheet being put out by QOL, Quality of Life Reno, that's QOL-Reno.com. Check it out for yourself because there's a lot of good stuff in there. But today's poll question reflects one of the things that's going on right here in Reno, and that is, should shoplifters be arrested or ticketed for items less than $50? Visit 991fmtalk.com, cast your vote. Yesterday's question, will the impeachment trial in the Senate produce any new results? I know, I get it, this is just of the people who are voting. But 100% said, no, it's just another waste of time and our money. So there you have it. So far of all those people voting on today's question, 100%, yes, shoplifters should be arrested or ticketed. The reason I bring you this is because big box stores are continuing to allow shoplifters to steal anything and everything with no consequences. Reno's biggest corporate stores, and maybe that's why it is, because it's, you know, these big corporations. But what those big corporations do is they affect the mom and pop shops, and that's not fair. Because places like Home Depot and Walmart, they allow people just to brazenly steal stuff and not be persecuted. Large scale, up to $1,200. A grocery store manager was actually told by the RPD that unless the stolen amount exceeds $1,200, that they wouldn't even respond to a 911 call. So you've put everything that you have into a little gift store or a little tchotchke store, a clothing store, a boutique. And yet people can go into your store, steal things, But unless it's $1,200 worth of stuff, screw you. By the law enforcement that you pay to protect you and your property? I don't get it. So let's go to the man who puts out this hot sheet, Paul White from Quality of Life Reno. That man who has been banned from other media outlets because, well, you don't like what you say. Paul, thanks for calling in today.
Good morning, Monica. Good to hear you.
I'm loving every article you have out in the new hot sheet. This is a lot of important stuff that I was going to go over today.
Well, I tell you, we're just about to give you more because there's a special edition coming out today. Buckle your seatbelt. We heard from a person who was a firsthand participant that yesterday morning at City Hall, they had a secret meeting about the homeless issue. And the participants included city council members. We don't know how many, whether or not that violated a open meeting law, police, city manager, contractor who's cleaning things up, code enforcement, possibly TUMWA, we think. What was the topic? The topic was, and this was confirmed yesterday afternoon by the city manager's office, that there definitely was a meeting. She refused to confirm who was in attendance, said, if you want the information, go to Freedom of Information Act. That's how you do it if you're feeling real not guilty, right?
Yeah.
So what
they make you do the footwork and, you know, drag out the time. So they wait
months later. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, here's what the meeting was about. The meeting was about the homeless problem, and, you know, in the hot sheet there it mentions why are they moving the tents around but they're not ticketing any of these people.
Arresting them, yeah.
Yeah, the participants at the meeting were told that the police and their contractor were going to take no action to take out any camps in the next 3 weeks because they're waiting for what's known as a PIT, Monica, point-in-time homeless count, and that's when once a year every community counts how many they have homeless, and that is the basis for how much money they receive from the government. So they say, in other words, if the police were to enforce the law during the next 3 weeks and clean these out, that the city's afraid that some homeless vagrant, this is not homeless, this is vagrant by choice, that they might choose to leave Reno, in which case we'd get less funding. So no problem, but during the next 3 weeks, when no laws are going to be enforced with the homeless, that means that here, look at what's going on in the last 2 weeks. Murder, a stabbing, a body in the river, burned up, assaults. This means that the city is okay with more crimes like that being inflicted on the vagrants themselves and on the community. But just because, in other words, the city values more of the funding they're going to get. Monica, this just so turns it upside down. They portray this sense of compassion for these vagrant criminals on the river. How much compassion do they have when they're just going to let them prey on each other in the public to keep their money right? And then they told everybody at the secret meeting yesterday not to tell anything to the public or the media about the homeless situation. They said, well, let's just speak with one voice. Now, they didn't say who that one voice is going to be designated to be, but no doubt somebody who is perfectly willing to lie about what's going on. But does that not just beat anything you heard this morning?
You know, that really does, because you didn't bring up one thing, Paul, and that is, I mean, I know you go for the care and the compassion of the people. Right. I also look at all of the money that they have spent of taxpayers' dollars to clean up and make it look good for people over on Evans at the overpass there, getting that all cleaned up, the special meeting that they had to have to approve that funding. That money is totally wasted now, because if you don't keep enforcement going, people just move back in, as we've seen to Pickett Park. People just move back into those clean areas now. So they are literally throwing away taxpayer dollars.
Right. And what they're saying is, in other words, the, you know, anytime you have somebody cleaning hazardous materials like this contractor, that's a premium rate. That's not built into a budget. That's an emergency. Then to have that many police officers and maintenance down there, they are either pulling officers off their normal beats or they're pulling in other officers for overtime, either one of which is no good. It's like, you know, a city has to look, we'll be dealing with this in a future hot sheet. What options does a city have when their government refuses to enforce the law?
Well, and it's all about money for them. It's all about funding. It's not about helping people. It's about bringing money in.
Yeah, it's,
Paul,
I
like the edition of the hot sheet that I guess you put out before this special edition that's coming out, because here is the solution and the quote of the week. This was expressed by a former Tumwa worker. The solution is simple. Keep the damn illegal camps off the river and arrest anyone who refuses to follow that law. I don't know where the public's apathy towards this serious issue comes from. The community just doesn't know what's going on. If they did, they would do something about it. The public should not be stupid to the fact that the city council continues to allow public health and safety hazards to exist on the Truckee.
Right, this was a career water treatment operator, and that's why you'll see in that issue from yesterday, we selected Andy Gebhardt, a director at Tumwa, as citizen of the decade. He's got the bravest, strongest, unarguable presentation that'll go to any group on the real situation on the river of anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, he tells it like it is.
And why does it?
And, you know, from what we've seen, the homeless encampments are moving farther north, you know, so more parks, more, or west, I guess that goes that direction. The Truckee goes west. But it's just, again, it's going to be a continuing problem because they just want to keep getting those dollars from the feds, from the state, from wherever. And no one's going to be helped.
They just have to ask, Monica, why is it so difficult to have a city council and a police and a court system that simply line up shoulder to shoulder and say, the laws are for everybody, we enforce them equally with everybody, and we are absolutely going to, nobody's going to get near that river who's not going to be removed immediately if they're doing something that could pollute it. Why is this such a difficult thing for our city leaders to do?
Yeah, because it boils down to the money. So,
yeah.
Paul, thank you so much for keeping track of this. When other people won't talk to you, you know you've always got a voice here, because I know you're working for the betterment of our community. That's why it's called Quality of Life Reno, people. QOL-Reno.com. Please log on, check out the
.org.
QOL-Reno.org, and make sure that you check out yesterday's hot sheet, and you can go through all of this, and then check out the special edition that's coming out. What time do you think, Paul?
It should be coming out about early this afternoon, and we would encourage any of them who haven't subscribed. It's free. Just send us your email and express that you'd like to receive them.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. My best to you and all of your team, making this a better place for us. There goes Paul White. Let's go back to the phone lines, 884-9910. Neil, I actually had a call back from yesterday. You wanted to talk about World War and the presidency yesterday, but I asked you to hold off for a bit. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, what if, I'm wondering on your opinion, what if Trump was president during World War One or Two? Do you think he will be go to World War, or even Bill Clinton, or even Obama? Do you think they will do the World War, or do you think they won't even touch the World War, and we don't even have a World War One or Two? What do you say?
Well, I mean, the history is history. Things were different back then, so you can't put people's options for the past. But if there were going to be a World War III, I think that Obama and Clinton would have taken us into that, but Trump is not about war, and that's why he was elected. Trump is about doing what's best for America. And if that means to stay out of the Middle East and let them do their thing, unless it involves nuclear arms, you know, then we might step in. But they need to settle this issue. This is never going to be settled, okay?
I know.
The things that are going on in the Middle East have been going on for thousands of years. I'm not talking about hundreds, and I'm not talking about decades. I'm talking about thousands of years. Learn your history, people. Our involvement there is not going to solve or settle anything. So we need to bring our people home. That's just my opinion. And we need to let them do whatever they're going to do to themselves. Unlike Germany, when you start just, you know, taking people because of, you know, a religion or something and executing them for just because of what they believe, then we'll step in, because that's wrong. Those are crimes against humanity. So,
yeah, and
there
another
you
thing,
go.
I'm wondering if you'd be really good if you ran for office. What are you takes on that?
Nah. I have to be the voice of everyone, you know. Maybe someday if something really serious happens. But actually, Neil, I'm going to bring up that subject in the next segment because you just reminded me of something. So, Neil, thank you so much for the call, 884-9910. Thanks, Neil. If you've got something on your mind, it's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Yeah, it's the Monica J Show, 884-9910. Log on to 991fmtalk.com today. Answer our poll question. Should shoplifters be arrested or ticketed for items less than $50? Again, visit 991fmtalk.com. Cast your vote. Yesterday's poll question, will impeachment trial in the Senate produce any new results? 100% said no. Just another waste of time and our money. Well, there you go. So the reason for today's poll question is we're seeing it more and more in other states, and it is right here at home as well. Cops won't even show up if it's less than $1,200. How does that affect your business? I mean, somebody just comes in and starts sticking stuff in their coat and they take off? You know, I want to know the rules on this. Are you, as a business owner, allowed to do something to them? Are you allowed to grab them and hold them? When do you, as the shopkeep, there's an old term for you, when do you have rights? When do you get to protect your property? So far, 85% of those answering today's poll have said, yeah, they need to be arrested. They need to be ticketed. They need to show up somewhere in jail. So as to what Neil was just asking there, I would never rule out a run for something if it were for the betterment of this community. My problem is, though, is I have to give up my show to do that, because we're at least for running. And I don't know if Jerry would let me, you know, not do my show for 6 months. It's just a thing. But we are in a desperate need right now, and I'm going to have to take this over into the next hour as well, is we need good people to run, to come forward to run for assembly seats, to run for to run for city council, to run for county commission, to run for school board, to run for regents. We need good, strong, conservative, especially financial conservative Republicans. Now, I know there is a trick that strategists use, and that is you don't announce your filing, or you don't file until the very last day, which is March 27th. But you have to get the word out before that. They say, no, don't do it until that last day, because that's when the media grabs you and they start getting into your background and they start twisting things. I'll tell you more after this Fox update and some business news. Nice.